We believe talk of a one-world government is biblical, not conspiratorial, and we'll tell you why next.
If there was a world government, we would lose our current system of checks and balances. Right now in the world, if one country steps out of line, other countries can ally themselves, come together, and oppose that power and put it back in its place. But under a one world regime, where would people run to? If the world government itself is corrupt, there's no place left to go to because the entire world is now under a single global umbrella.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jen Markell. Jen meets today with commentator Gary Kaa to discuss one world government and how it's affecting these United States. Gary is a former European and Middle Eastern trade specialist for the state of Indiana. During that time, Gary learned of efforts underway to establish a one world political financial system. He also discovered there's a religious motivation connected with these endeavors. Gary's books, En Route to Global Occupation and the New World Religion, are fully documented and are critical in understanding today's global developments. Here now is Jen Markell's conversation with Gary Kaa.
Satan can deceive mankind into following his agenda in a number of different ways, and we talked about some of those yesterday evening, of how all around the world Satan is creating chaos increasingly. We're in a crisis atmosphere on every front now, whether it's the environment or the global economy or the political situation in the United States, the Middle East crisis, and all of this is taking us to a point where humanity will just feel hopeless and looking for a solution. And this will set the stage, I believe, for at some point for Satan to introduce his solution, which will be a type of one world system that allegedly will bring about world peace and world unity and solve all of our problems. And so that's a deception we have to be aware of. He's pursuing this one world system for the purpose of control. And the Bible warns us about that in Revelation chapter 13 and 14.
And welcome to the program. And if you listen regularly, you know that this program will talk, well, very often about the efforts at establishing global government, a one world system. This is outlined in the Bible, most prominently in Revelation 13. And it says that there will be a global leader, and all nations and all tribes will bow down to him, and we know his title to be the Antichrist. I've actually made a DVD about this, Hidden in Plain View, The New World Order in Bible Prophecy, but I'm not here to promote the product so much as to have a discussion with a fellow watchman of this phenomenon, Gary Kaa. Gary Kaa has been monitoring the rush to the global government system for almost 30 years now. Will believers ever see this system? Probably not. It will exist during the 7-year tribulation period from which the church is absent. Gary Kaa is a frequent guest here on Understanding the Times Radio. He's spoken at 2 of my Understanding the Times conferences. Gary Kaa, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Jan. It's always good to be with you.
Thank you. Gary, I want to revisit just for literally seconds here the 2016 election for a moment, because the globalists thought they had the perfect one-world candidate, Hillary Clinton. For some reason, God said it isn't quite time yet for the globalist system, not ready to blossom. He allowed Donald J. Trump the 2016 victory, but the one-worlders can't get over it. Now, how desperate do you think they will get, and what could they do to stop the rush towards American nationalism here in this country?
Well, first of all, I think that all of us would enjoy a time of peace in the United States and to see this divisiveness that exists currently come to a halt. But honestly, I believe just the opposite is going to happen. The Democratic Party took a strong turn to the left in the recent midterms, and I believe they're going to continue to go after President Trump even more vigorously now that they have Adam Schiff, for example, in charge of the House Intelligence Committee. I know there's a pretty large number of Democrats who do want to pursue impeachment. We'll see what happens with that. It's going to be an all-out battle the rest of the way, and we'll have to see if they actually do proceed with trying to impeach Donald Trump. The problem is good news keeps coming out every day on the economy, and they don't want to see that. I believe they actually want to try to collapse the economy in any way possible while Trump is still in power so that they can use that as a type of backlash against him in the next presidential election. If they can't get him out any other way, they definitely don't want to see him get in for a second term. So from their standpoint, they're doing damage control. But at the same time, if they can push things into a crisis mode, you know, the old saying is never let a crisis go to waste. And they're experts at that.
I'm going to revisit that crisis situation in just a moment here. But I want to read a couple of paragraphs that you've written. And folks, I'm playing off of a recent article Gary wrote, and it's found on his website, GaryKaa.org. And I'll give you more details when we move more into the program here. But Gary, you write this brand new article, and I just received it here by email recently. And you say this: the New World Order crowd hates Donald Trump with a passion because he has set out not only to oppose, but to undo their global government plans and has had a measure of success in doing so. And you write, Trump has become a much more formidable adversary than they ever imagined. Now they have a 2-year window in which to stop the bleeding and to deal the president a politically fatal blow. And you go on to say this: one reason I believe they will take off their gloves in dealing with Trump is because they actually want to make an example of him. Their goal? To relentlessly and shamelessly attack him and any of his conservative appointees to such a degree that no true conservative will dare to accept a position within his administration or to run for office of commander-in-chief in the future, lest they experience the same level of scrutiny and assault. The message is loud and clear. Hillary Clinton, James Comey, John Brennan, and others of their globalist deep state clan can commit any outrageous crimes they want to do and remain unscathed because they have the most powerful and corrupt network of people in the world on their side. So I'm stopping there, Gary Cobb. So let me ask you this, after reading that, then the deep state, is that just a bunch of globalists? Is that just another term for one worlders?
It is, but there's more than just politics involved. There's a spiritual worldview here. These people are pushing an interfaith, one world religion, one world government, one world economic system viewpoint, and we are clashing with that worldview. As Bible-believing Christians, we stand in the way. Conservative Jews stand in the way. Donald Trump stands in the way. And so they want to clear everything else out so they have a clear run forward to take us into this type of new world order that they envision. And I believe some of these people themselves, well, all of them, frankly, are deceived. Many of them believe that they will help bring about world peace by bringing in this new world order. Others, however, are completely devoted to the dark side. They understand they're helping to bring about luciferic forces and initiatives, that they're helping to bring this to fruition, and they're doing it anyway. They have sold out to the dark side. But not all the people involved in this movement view things from that extreme of viewpoint. Some of them actually believe they're working to bring about world peace. And that's the real tragedy in all this, because it will ultimately do just the opposite. The deep state has its name from the idea that runs deep in Washington and in government circles. So we've witnessed Donald Trump getting rid of certain department heads only to have the people that come up to that position hold the same views. And you can probably go through the top 5 or 6 or 7 layers in some of these departments, and the people that keep coming up hold the same views. So unless the president can install some of his own people who are committed pro-Constitution American patriots, he's not going to be able to substantially slow down the one world movement. And of course, the leftist media hates them, and they bash them as much as they do him. So even some university professors, I know in Indiana, my home state, there was a Ball State University professor that made a statement like, well, to stop this whole Trump agenda, we not only have to get rid of Trump, but Pence along with him. And they were talking about literally taking them out, physically taking them out. And so there are dangerous views being presented, especially at the university level. If you're conservative, look out. You are hated. There's just no room for any dialogue anymore. You look at Ben Shapiro, you know, who's tried to speak on college campuses and others, and and they will do everything they can to keep them off the campus. Mm-hmm. But if you're a leftist, you know, you're welcome.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell here talking to Gary Kah. You can learn more at his website, garykah.org. That's spelled K-A-H. And I'll give you some of his books a little bit later, and you have to get those at garykah.org. So I guess my ultimate question, Gary, was, and you've answered it, thank you, and that is, how deep is the deep state? And I think we should clarify, because honestly, there are deep state people in America, both parties, Republican and Democrat. It's not just one party. It's both sides of the aisle.
No, you're right. When I worked for the government of Indiana back in the 80s, I just loosely, from observing things and having had personal experience there in politics, I'd say at the time, 55% to 60% of the globalists in Indiana who were pushing this agenda were Democrats, and around 35-40%, somewhere in there, mm-hmm. were Republicans, and there were a few independents thrown in. Today, I would say it's probably more like 70-80% are Democrats, but there are still Republicans who share this worldview, who are pushing a globalist agenda. And you can tell who they are because they're the darlings of the media. Mm-hmm. And not to pick on this individual in any way, but I just have to point out, because I wrote about it in my book years ago, George Bush Sr., who recently passed, was very much involved in the One World movement, and he was viewed as one of their darlings. And if you look at, you know, the coverage he got from the media mm-hmm. when he passed, his funeral, I think that came through loud and clear. He may have meant well. I'm not going to judge his motives. You know, like I said earlier, various people want to push this one world agenda for different reasons. And maybe he actually thought he was helping to bring about world peace. I don't know. That's between him and God. But he was a globalist, and he was a Republican. He was also the one-time head of the Trilateral Commission and held, you know, key positions in the CIA and ambassador to China, the UN. I mean, he was a key figure in a lot of areas. And everywhere he was, he pushed the globalist agenda. So we cannot fall for the idea that it's only Democrats who are globalists. These people are smart. They've got people in both the Democrat and Republican camp so that they can try to play both sides.
Well, Paul Ryan just stepped down, and he was one of them as well. I want to quote you again, Gary Kah. You say, "I believe we are closer to extreme civil unrest and possibly even civil war than at any time since the 1860s. Our nation stands divided, its citizens holding two completely different diametrically opposing worldviews. The left and the right cannot coexist within our country much longer. Barring divine intervention, I fear that something is about to give." And I am too, Gary, and I've said that publicly various places as well. And you've already verbalized one of my concerns, and that's having our president or vice president or both taken out, perhaps in a violent way, because again, these one-worlders, these deep state people, they're in a panic. They're in a frenzy. They lost their 2016 election, which they can't get over, and they're just bound and determined to destroy everything in their path. I've had many guests on this program saying the same thing, as these people are intent upon destroying everything in their path until they get their way.
Yeah, and it's not just that President Trump is standing in their way, but he's actually had some success in undoing their plan. You know, just the whole NAFTA renegotiating and moving away from that. That throws a major wrench into their plans. They want to make Europe one big country, and they want to do the same thing with North America and with other regions of the world. And then once that political cycle and economic cycle has been completed, they want to merge all those regions together into a world government. So their game plan has been from a nation to a region to global government. That's the sequence. And so, of course, here in North America, Donald Trump has opposed that and is having some success, even with the current Mexican government that we're actually receiving some help from now on the whole immigration crisis. So they hate him because he stands in their way, and he's actually been working to undo their agenda. So we do need to pray for him and for people close to him, including Mike Pence and our Secretary of State, Pompeo, who's been doing an excellent job. So we have some good people in there, and we really need to pray for them.
Gary, I'm going to play another clip. It happens to be you again. This is possibly more recently. It's, I think you were in Prophecy in the News program. I found it interesting here because you're explaining here when you were first starting out in your business career for the state of Indiana, how you realized here you were traveling globally and kind of became aware of this globalist agenda. And you had some very intriguing things to say here. And I'm going to pick up on a couple of the bullet points when we come back.
So it was through those experiences over several years that I first began to hear about an eventual move toward a one world government system. And I was somewhat surprised to find out that some of the people at our embassies favored that idea of there being a single global government over the entire world. And so I began asking somewhat naive questions at the time, and one thing would lead to another and to another, and over time I did get some answers. I began to do some research into things. I had really three different experiences that I talk about in my book that were a big turning point over the course of 8 months, looking at the political, the economic, and also the religious aspects of this so-called one world movement. And I began to see the dangers in it for various reasons. For example, if there was a world government, we would lose our current system of checks and balances. Right now in the world, if one country steps out of line, other countries can ally themselves, come together, and oppose that power and put it back in its place. But under a one world regime, where would people run to? If the world government itself is corrupt, there's no place left to go to because the entire world is now under a single global umbrella. And then there was the issue of our U.S. Constitution, which really, the way it's worded right now, it'd be very difficult, if not impossible, for us to go into a one-world government. So somehow they would have to scrap our Constitution or change it in a major way. And then also the fact that you would have international bureaucrats somewhere, probably in Europe, calling the shots. And we would also have to pay taxes. Somehow this additional layer of government would have to be funded. And then on top of all that, when you look at those who are, I would say, the most influential people in this movement, they hold a completely different worldview, and it happens to be very anti-Christian, and they also are strongly opposed to Israel and conservative Jews. And so by this time in my research, I began seeing the handwriting on the wall. I thought if all this were to come to fruition, it would be like Adolf Hitler all over again, except truly on a global scale this time.
I hope you caught what Gary said there in that middle of that little clip. If this kind of a institution, this global government type of a governing system were installed around the world, where would people run to? I think that's a very profound thought. Right now, people are running to America, to the free world, and there are a few countries left that would be safe. So this experience you're relating there was very early in your career representing trade for the state of Indiana.
Yes, it was. I was just putting the pieces together at that time, and I was actually young, very young to be in that position, and I thought from the beginning how strange that the Lord afforded me the opportunity to get this job, and immediately I was traveling overseas for our state government, and one of my first trips took me to Israel, and one of the business people I met there, he was actually with one of the electrical utility companies who's looking at purchasing coal from Indiana. We had lunch together, and he found out that I was very pro-Israel and had a heart for the Jewish people, and he began to share some things with me because he also happened to be a general in the Israeli military. And it just so turned out, a few months before I was there, the Israelis had uncovered miles of underground tunnels in southern Lebanon that were stashed with mostly Russian-made military equipment, and they were gearing up using some of the Lebanese, perhaps some of the Syrians, to invade Israel. And I asked the question, I said, how can this be? There's been nothing in the international media about this at all. But in Israel, everyone was aware of it because it took months for the Israeli military to get all of this equipment out of Lebanon and bring it to Israel. And so I asked, why this bias in the media? If they know about it, why are they not sharing this with us? And ultimately, it led me to conclude that there is a very strong anti-Israel, anti-Jewish, also anti-Christian bias in the people who, for the most part, control our media. And today we're seeing that. It's out in the open. Back then it wasn't. It was hidden. But Donald Trump has been a type of lightning rod that has brought everything to the surface. The leftists, the globalists, they can't hide their feelings anymore. We see what they believe. Yeah. And I think they also believe their strength in numbers. They feel that they have enough control in key strategic places of our government, in the media, in our university system, that they can move forward unhindered except by conservatives. But even there, we're the minority. you know, 54% of millennials, you know, believe they're socialists.
I want to pick up on that. I've got to take my first break here, but I want to pick up on that as soon as we get back. And that is about some of the millennials and how they're beginning to shape a lot of things, which generally is not a good situation. Folks, I'm coming back just a couple of minutes. We're going to continue on with Gary Cobb. We'll give you the titles of his books and his website again when we get back. Don't go away.
Just a quick reminder, every Saturday morning, this program is posted to our website. You can listen to it at olivetreeviews.org. Again, it's olivetreeviews.org. This broadcast ministry focuses on the importance of understanding our times according to the Bible. Every weekend, we talk about issues and themes converging in the world that lead us to believe the return of Jesus Christ is near. Please remember us in prayer. You can help support this program when you mail your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. To contact our office, please phone 763-559-4444. More conversation with Gary Ka right after this brief timeout. Thanks for supporting this radio outreach, now heading into its 19th year. There is a common misperception that radio stations actually pay hosts of programs like Understanding the Times Radio, when in fact, programs like this deal with serious weekly radio costs. If you would like to underwrite this program, give us a call Monday through Friday, Central Time, at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Or just give conveniently online at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can always drop a tax-deductible check to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Proclaiming both the news and the good news this year.
This so-called one world movement. And I began to see the dangers in it. And then there was the issue of our U.S. Constitution, which really, the way it's worded right now, it'd be very difficult, if not impossible, for us to go into a one world government. So somehow they would have to scrap our Constitution or change it in a major way. And then also the fact that you would have international bureaucrats somewhere, probably in Europe, calling the shots. And we would also have to pay taxes. Somehow this additional layer of government would have to be funded.
Today's radio guest, Gary Ka, is an expert on one world government, the focus of Jan's discussion this hour. So let's continue with that conversation. Again, here's Jan Markell.
Would you support if we as a whole world just came together under one government?
Yes. Why not?
A new world order type of idea of being under, you know, global government. Is that something you'd be in favor of?
Yeah, definitely, with Canada being such a multicultural country.
Yeah, why not? Just expand it to the new world order, right?
Okay, and welcome back. And just a couple of young people weighing in there, sort of man on the street interviews going on. What would you think of a one world system? Oh, great idea. And again, this has been propagated through our educational systems, particularly here in the Western world. Textbooks have infected entire generations, the last couple of generations. And Gary and I were talking off air here recently this past week. And my goodness, once some of the baby boomers or the generation, the World War II generation passes on, Gary Ka, what do you think will happen? I mean, assuming we have that kind of time left, I don't believe we do. But in a worst case scenario, you get these millennials in positions of high places. My goodness, they're going to welcome the Antichrist like he is a rock star.
Well, yeah, and we have kids that are age 23 to 32 right now. And so we're well aware of what millennials are talking about and what they believe. And even in Christian colleges now, more and more young people are having to defend their views from the standpoint of wanting to defend our constitutional republic, because there's this push toward globalization and one world. And the term multicultural is thrown around a lot. Oftentimes it actually means one world or moving in that direction. So definitions are very important. I always told our kids, make sure you get a good definition so that it's not misunderstood. Then you know how you can move forward on that. And some of the time, they have taken on their professors and had a healthy debate on some of these issues. What's interesting is right now, and I mentioned this right before the break, but I just want to go there, 54% of millennials in a recent survey stated that they are socialists. In another survey, though, only about half of those millennials understand what socialism really means. So much of this is naivety, but they are definitely not pro-free enterprise. It's fair to say that. And in the next national election, it is believed, it's less than 2 years from now, it is believed that for the first time, millennials will outnumber baby boomers. And so we'll have to see what happens with that. But unless baby boomers and those who are left of the World War II generation, which are fewer and fewer, unless 90% of them turn out to vote and all vote very conservative, it could be the first election that is completely given to the millennials. Okay. I think it might be close. But globalists would love to see the economy collapse under Donald Trump so they can point blame at him and say, look at what he did. This is because of Trump. They're hoping they can then produce a huge backlash against conservatives and that ultra-liberals will come in like a wave. And I think that's a real possibility that could happen. I hope it doesn't. I pray it doesn't. But that's what they're trying to bring about. So you'll even notice in the news every day now, we have good news coming out on the economy. Twice as many jobs created last month as what they expected. Low unemployment rate, great domestic growth, more manufacturing jobs. And yet for every piece of good news that comes out, the major networks are throwing three or four other things out there to try to get people to see a negative view. Trade war with China coming, everything's going to be terrible, on and on. And that plays in the psyche of individuals after a while, and it's made the stock market jittery.
Yes.
You know, we don't know what's going to happen with this, only God knows, but globalists would love to try to collapse the economy and pin the blame on Trump. It's a big part of their agenda.
I want to direct folks to a couple of products, maybe in three products here, and two of them are your books, because we're only able to touch on the thumbnail of the topic here, global government and the rush to the one world system. Again, folks, it's outlined in Revelation 13. Gary's got two books, En Route to Global Occupation and The New World Religion. Those are two books. You've got to find them at GaryKah.org. That's spelled K-A-H, GaryKah.org. I have a DVD called Hidden in Plain View, The New World Order in Bible Prophecy. Find that at my website, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. Go to my store. You can call for my DVD at my office, and you hear that number throughout the program. We're not carrying Gary's products at this time because they're available at GaryKah.org. So honestly, if you really want to understand something that, to do justice, we need to do two, three programs on today, and we can't. Gary, let me just move on to a couple of other things. And I want to hit Europe here. And you and I talked in just a totally fascinating discussion about Francis Emmanuel Macron and issues related to that. First, I want to quote you one more time here. I don't quite want to leave Donald Trump, but you write, and again, this is in his newsletter. Find it at GaryKah.org. My opinion, it seems as if, this is Gary speaking, it seems as if God is allowing tensions to come to a head. He's using Donald Trump as a lightning rod to bring previously hidden political agendas to the surface. The battle lines are being drawn. The far left is becoming increasingly bold and provocative and is gaining strength each passing month, catapulting ultra-liberal millennials into positions of leadership as the more conservative older generations gradually exit the public arena and die off. If we continue on this course, those conservatives who remain will either have to fight or flee to another land. Now, that's strong talk, I think, Gary, to say that people like you and me may have to flee to another country. Frankly, you know, we often talk, you and I, when we talk about this subject, that it's going to take, some kind of a crisis to bring about this global government. And we talk about, it's going to be environmental, is it going to be political, is it going to be weather, is it going to be financial? My own opinion, and I bring this out in the DVD I made, is it's going to be the rapture. Once the rapture happens, this global system will fly into place in literally a nano a second, but I want to go back to a single individual or organization stirring this up. Let me just ask you, George Soros, he's huge, but he's in cooperation with a lot of others. And you said to me, Freemasonry is huge.
It is. As I was researching this back in the 80s, everything I traced down when I went down a rabbit trail to try to get to the end of it, it always seemed that there was a high-level Freemason there. And so that became a common denominator for me. It took a while to put all those pieces together. But even their magazine back in the 80s was called the New Age Magazine. And then the name was finally changed when people began to catch on. People like Alice Bailey, yeah, the mother of the New Age movement, was a female Freemason. The Theosophical Society was strongly influenced by Freemasonry. Your major foundations over the last century, really, like the Rockefeller family of foundations, the Carnegie foundations, Ford foundations, they have funneled a lot of money in the direction of one world pursuits, a lot of it going to organizations that are heavily stacked by Freemasons. And I'll tell you a quick story. Years ago, I had a friend I met. He was a former 33rd degree Mason. He accepted Christ, came out of Freemasonry, became a Baptist minister, and he said when he was in Freemasonry, kind of one of their well-kept secrets, but it was well understood to him and his cronies within the lodge, and that was that at the time, the World Council of Churches was mm-hmm. viewed by them as a type of Masonic branch organization because it was so heavily stacked with Freemasons. So here you have an organization that got its original funding from the Rockefeller Foundation that helped to launch it, and anymore today, many of the people within that organization are promoting interfaithism, type of false global unity, not centered on sound doctrine, but just this idea of globalization and bringing all the world's religions together. And they'll say, their goal is harmony and unity and such, but we know from reading the Bible where all this is going to go in the very end. And it's going to require the return of Jesus Christ to make things right on this planet because things will spin out of control. And Satan is so deceptive in this area. All of us would love to have peace and unity, but it's got to be based on the truth, not in a deception that leads people ultimately to hell.
If you join me late, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell, your host here on the line from another location I won't disclose, is Gary Kahn. You've heard him on this program numerous times. Been at a couple of my conferences. Learn more at GaryKahn.org. A couple of quotes I want to give here. Arnold Toynbee, and he passed away as recently as 1975, says, "The nations of the world are ready to give the kingdoms of the world to any one man who will offer a solution to the world's problems." And Paul Henry Spaak, S-P-A-A-K, said back in 1957, "What we want is a man of sufficient stature to hold the alliances of all the people and to lift us out of the economic morass into which we are sinking." Then he says, "Send us such a man, and be he God or devil, we will receive him." So you can see the mindset for decades has been, okay, things aren't going as well as we'd like. We need sort of a global leader. Henry Spaak says, "Send us such a man, be he God or devil, we will receive him." The book of Revelation says they will receive such a man. He will be devil-inspired. His title is the Antichrist, and the stage is being set for him to play the role. So, Gary Kahn, we talked a little bit about, takes a crisis, some kind of a crisis. I suggested environmental, political, weather, financial, all of those things. Throw in the rapture, of course, that will add to it as well. Any other kind of a crisis you can think of that could hasten this system?
Well, here in the United States, things are so hostile now that I believe we could be headed into a time of major civil unrest that could come on quite quickly under the right circumstances, and even a type of civil war. And again, I hope that doesn't happen, but we're moving in that direction right now. And I have always felt if such a time, heaven forbid, happens in the United States, we would be very vulnerable to our foreign adversaries. And if we were ever going to get hit from outside of our country, that would be the time that our adversaries would attempt to do so. And if you have a major crisis here in the United States, what happens here affects the entire world, especially the Middle East. If we were suddenly taken out of the way as a major world power because of being preoccupied from a disaster within, what would happen to Israel? Would the countries around Israel decide, okay, this is our time to make a move? Would they try to attack Israel? Israel would no longer have us as an ally. They'd be on their own. I mean, their backs would be against the wall. So there's so much fallout from a crisis of that nature. And I think lumped together with all the other alleged crises, you know, the environment, the coming global economic disaster that is being pushed, and just about everything you can think of, they're touting as a crisis, as a reason for why we have to have a world government. But you put all that together, and it could do the trick. Somebody's going to step on the scene at the right moment, and they're going to appear to have all the answers, and instead, it's going to be the biggest trap. And while we're on this subject, I know, Jan, you and I, we had talked about this earlier off the air. You know, religious leaders have to get behind this in order for a one world government to come together. And here you have Pope Francis recently being quoted in an Italian newspaper, La Repubblica, saying that Americans must be ruled by a world government as soon as possible, quote, for their own good. And also, he was on record saying that Europe should become one country under one government. Yeah. Here you have the first Jesuit pope in place. He's a globalist. He's been one for a long time. He's totally committed to the global climate change, environmental agenda, which is simply a way for the globalists to gain more power through building an international bureaucracy and infrastructure. He's completely on board with all this. And I personally believe that many of the globalists see this time as their opportunity to make a move because they have the proper pope in place to work alongside of them to bring it to fruition. But he's getting old. He's up in his 80s. And I think that's another reason why they're pushing as hard as they can right now. And again, Donald Trump has gotten in their way. And so if they're on a timetable here and they want to pull all this off in the next few years, they're going to have to do something pretty drastic fairly soon in order to stay on this timetable.
Yes.
And if they can't, you know, they'll pass this opportunity and have to wait for another one.
Gary, I'm so glad you raised that. I actually have that article in front of me. Pope Francis, world government must rule U.S. for their own good. He says the danger concerns immigration. The Pope continued, speaking here to La Repubblica, our main and unfortunately growing problem in the world is that of the poor, the weak, the excluded, which includes migrants. This is why the G20 worries me. Again, this is Pope Francis. It mainly hits immigrants, Pope Francis said. And he says the idea that Americans would be better off under a world government doesn't stop there. And the radical leftist pontiff also went on record stating that Europe should become one country under one government. That was in an interview in an Italian newspaper. And folks, I hear from Catholics talking about this fairly regularly, and they're not really happy with their church right now. Some, anyway. So I'm so glad you brought that up. Now, and I do want to head to Europe here, and perhaps we could even do that now. Again, you have brought up and made me aware in recent conversations. You emphasize the importance of Freemasonry, which I do talk a little bit about in the DVD I made, and interfaithism and globalism go hand in hand, you've said to me privately. I want to head quickly to France, because you said to me that France is the hub of a lot of this activity, this globalist rush. And again, the globalists installed Emmanuel Macron back in spring of 2017, and now we see the Yellow Vest movement, which I think started out okay, defending nationalism. But I think you're suggesting, Gary, that the Yellow Vest movement is starting to get subverted, and perhaps it is being infiltrated with secret societies. Am I right?
Yes, I believe it is in the process of morphing into something else. France has been a hotbed of revolutions for many years, and you know, you go all the way back to the late 1700s, of course, and you see that. And one reason is because the secret societies have been very dominant in that country. And so even if a crisis begins to emerge, being led by people of goodwill who want to bring about positive change, it usually doesn't take long for the Masonic elements to penetrate those movements and use them for their own purposes. Just a little bit of background. This may surprise people. UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, the most powerful agency within the UN, definitely the propaganda arm for the UN, it is headquartered in Paris. That's where a lot of the shots are still being called from. So the UN building is in New York City, but a lot of the shots are still being called directly from Paris. Also, back in the 1800s, you had a very dark group called the Order of the Palladium, sometimes referred to as the Sovereign Council of Wisdom, that was founded in Paris way back in 1737. But in the 1800s, it had a lot of influence. And Albert Pike, the leader of Scottish Rite Freemasonry during a good part of the 1800s, belonged to that group, worked closely with them. them, and they continued to foment crisis in collaboration with Pike and other top Freemasons in this country. And the Grand Orient Masonic Lodge, which many researchers believe is probably the most powerful or second most powerful lodge in the world, it is still in France. And a lot of these other movements come out of that lodge almost as like arms. And if something is exposed, they're cut off, and these forces just keep going as if nothing happened. So people need to be aware of that. France is a key player in all of this, and sometimes they kind of set the trend. Just one other thing I want to throw in here, a little bit off the subject, but I have to mention it because I've been doing some of this research lately. I want to make people aware of the fact that the same Albert Pike that I just mentioned, who at the time was either the top or second highest Freemason in the world, also helped to found the Ku Klux Klan. And in fact, he wrote the anthem and the rules of that organization. And so you have a tight connection between Freemasonry and the Ku Klux Klan, which was strongly opposed to blacks and also Jews. And yet the ironic thing today is there are some people out there that want to pin the blame for the One World Movement completely on the Jews. And yet what I have found in my research is that some of the very top people over the years who've been involved in pushing the One World agenda, like Albert Pike, you know, Mr. New World Order himself, was extremely anti-Jewish and couldn't stand blacks to the point where he was willing to be involved at the top of the Ku Klux Klan.
Okay. When we get back, and we have a short segment when I get back, I even want to make a quick comment about how this is entering into the world of the fashion industry. I want to say a word or two about Celine Dion, how she's come out as a globalist. We'll do that. Coming back in just a couple of minutes, we'll wrap this up with Gary Ka. Again, you can learn a lot more at GaryKa.org. Find his books. Find my DVD, Hidden in Plain View, New World Order and Bible Prophecy, OliveTreeViews.org, or you can give my office a call. Back in just a couple of minutes.
Every fall, Olive Tree Ministries hosts an Understanding the Times conference in Metro Minneapolis. This year, our September 21st weekend event features guest speakers Jack Hibbs, Amir Sarfati, Jan Markell, Robert Jeffress, and J.D. Farag. More conference information can be found at our website, olivetreeviews.org. In the weeks and months to come, we'll be giving you more details. In the meantime, save the date, September 21, for this outstanding event. You can become a financial partner with us. You can help us keep this listener-supported program airing coast to coast when you send your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Or you can support us by phone when you call 763-559-4444. Jan Markell returns in just a moment to wrap up her conversation with Gary Ka.
I have watched the tide of our times deteriorate for decades. Some say we are in the time period known as the beginning of sorrows, but that actually comes later in God's clock and calendar. Still, without an eternal perspective, people are discouraged today, and that is why Hebrews 10 tells us to encourage one another. Olive Tree Ministries has products that will help you do that. Visit our website, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. We have books and DVDs that are uplifting and that will remind you that the King is coming soon and the darkness will turn to dawn. If you want to stay up to date, also check our daily headlines posted hourly every day. The sons of Issachar in 1 Chronicles 12 were men who understood the times. God wants us to be in the know, up to date, and looking at events that cause us to await His return.
There are a number of secret societies throughout the world, some of them operating mainly in the political realm, but others in the more religious end of things. And so I always want to look at the motivation behind it. What has prompted these people to have the worldview that they have that compels them to want to establish this world government, which usually they refer to as the New World Order or the dawning of a new age and terminology like that. I did find a common denominator. More times than not, the people that have started or established these various organizations that are part of this growing network were oftentimes involved in Freemasonry.
Let's return now for the conclusion of Jan Markell's discussion with One World Government expert, author, and commentator Gary Ka. Again, here's Jan.
President Donald Trump's speech to the United Nations General Assembly on Tuesday focused largely on putting America first and maintaining sovereignty.
The United States will not tell you how to live or work or worship. We only ask that you honor our sovereignty in return.
Soon afterward, French President Emmanuel Macron seemed to rebuke Trump's comments during his own speech at the UN.
I shall never stop upholding the principle of sovereignty, even in the face of certain nationalism, which we're seeing today, brandishing sovereignty as a way of attacking others.
Trump also told this year's largest gathering of world leaders that Americans reject the ideology of globalism. Macron responded to that, too, by saying he rejects Trump's ideas on globalism.
Here today, even those who might criticize it, we have all benefited from the way that global order is structured around globalization. We've all benefited from it.
But Macron's harshest criticism had to do with the Paris Climate Agreement, which Trump withdrew the U.S. from in 2017. He said, "We will no longer sign commercial agreements with powers that do not respect the Paris Accord." But he later clarified his comments by saying he thinks there could still be agreements with individual sectors as long as they're neutral on climate.
And welcome back. And we're wrapping up an hour-long interview with Gary Kaa. And I want to comment just about a couple of more things as time allows here. Quickly, though, I know some of you are running crazy and you don't have time to always sit by your radio. The programming is posted to my website every Saturday morning, olivetreeviews.org. Views as in viewpoint, olivetreeviews.org. Or just sign up for the oneplace.com mobile app. It'll be downloaded to your devices Saturday morning. Encourage you to sign up for my print and e-newsletter where we talk about all these kinds of issues in my print and e-newsletter. And if you do send a gift in, would you always tell us what station you're listening to? It helps when we are sorting through over 800 radio stations to know which stations, well, quite frankly, are productive and which ones are not. So helpful if you'll do that for us. Now, let me make just a couple of comments. Then I want to read another paragraph or two about something Gary's written. And I'm quoting from his winter January 19 print newsletter. Again, find more information, GaryKaa.org. You can sign up for that particular newsletter. It's quarterly and it is by subscription. But I made a little tease in the last segment that this whole topic has even come right on into the world of fashion. And some of you know that singer Celine Dion now has a line of children's clothing with New World Order splashed all over the infant and toddler clothing. Of course, the clothing is gender neutral, and God forbid, you know, child grow up knowing what gender he or she is. So, and she is strongly pushing this globalist one world agenda. And if you see any of the commercials or any of the kind of exposés online on YouTube, look, she's just heavily promoting all things dark. So if you are listening to her music, be aware that she's got an agenda. The agenda is a very evil agenda. It's to pull little children into this whole New World Order scheme. There, I said it. I'm being really blunt because I'm here to tell you the truth, and that is these globalists are, well, they're mad. They're kind of a swatted bumblebee because they were defeated November 2016 by a nationalist, not a globalist. Hillary Clinton was their pick. God had other ideas. Donald Trump won in that election, and their globalist agenda has sort of been put on hold, probably only temporarily, because it says in Revelation 13 that their empire will come to power for 7 ignominious years, which will be literally hell on earth. Gary, I want to go back to your newsletter, and you make an interesting comparison, and that is the situation between Donald Trump and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Let me just read a couple of paragraphs again that you write, and you say, "The fact is President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu are facing very similar circumstances. They are both devout nationalists trying to defend the sovereignty of their respective nations, and internationalist forces are at work in both countries trying to oust them from power. The U.S. and Israel have historically been the most fiercely independent nations on the planet. The U.S. was formed mostly by Christian settlers who sought to escape the corrupt powers and religious impositions of Europe, while Israel was reestablished to give the Jewish people a homeland and safe refuge from their global pursuers. In each case, if our nationalist governments are brought down and replaced by forces loyal to world government, there will be no place to run from the emerging world order. With the exception of a few small nations and islands, the rest of the world is already firmly in the grip of devoted globalists. And then you wrap that up, Gary, and you say, to the power elite, Trump and Netanyahu epitomize the nationalist resistance to their international socialist agenda. Therefore, the efforts of both men must be thoroughly crushed. If the globalists succeed, they will have removed the final two major political obstacles to their one world plan. And then you say Britain's current Brexit scenario presents a new and unforeseen threat to the global powers, although I believe it may be short-lived as London and the overall culture of the UK seems to remain firmly in the grip of hardened socialists. The real question is, how long can conservatives hold on? Okay, going back to the fact that President Trump and Netanyahu are facing similar circumstances, I guess I'm not totally surprised. I think there's sort of an unusual parallel between the United States and Israel. But talk to me a little bit about this.
If the United States and Israel capitulate to the New World Order, I don't believe there is any other significant resistance in the world that will keep it from coming together. These are their last two mountains that they need to conquer, so to speak, globalists. And you've got Trump and Netanyahu almost in exactly the same positions. You've got forces going after Netanyahu, trying to pull him out and get him in jail, you know, making up all kinds of things they're saying about him. They've done the same thing in the past, and every time he comes through it, so it's just to take up his time to try to slow him down and hopefully somehow get him out of power from their standpoint, because he's defending Israel. He's not wanting to take Israel into a new world order under the United Nations. And Donald Trump and this country, same thing. They both want to move away from the UN, not toward the UN, and it's only common sense that they would want to do so. In the case of Israel, the United Nations last year passed 21 resolutions of condemnation against Israel. Out of 27 resolutions total, 21 of them were against Israel. It's like they sit around all day and try to figure out what next they can say against Israel. And it's ridiculous that we even are giving any money at all to the United Nations as a country. Donald Trump cut it back. I think he should cut it back even further. And in this country, same thing. The UN consistently opposes our views. Nikki Haley has done an excellent job. Some of the speeches she's made before the UN have been spot on. And so we see this debate now coming to the surface. It's come full cycle between global governing bodies like the United Nations versus Israel and versus the United States. And again, if they can deal with the United States and Israel, it'll make their job a whole lot easier. And that's why they're applying the kind of pressure that they are.
Well, okay, then let me go back quickly to Europe and to this Emmanuel Macron, because I think the globalists put him in power, hoping that he could be sort of a world leader, and he's certainly striving to be a world leader. And I think when we talked recently, you suggested that the globalists may actually be reassessing Emmanuel Macron. Maybe he isn't their man for Europe, or even their man for the whole global empire to lead. I don't know. But you feel that they are reassessing him.
Well, we'll have to wait and see what happens. But unlike Barack Obama,
yes,
who was able to have a high degree of global popularity through all of his shenanigans and the push toward globalization and the fact that conservatives were strongly opposing him in the United States, he was able to maintain overall popularity worldwide for the most part. Macron, on the other hand, he has had to cave in quite a bit in his own country right now just to get things under control. And so I think right now the globalists are questioning his effectiveness and if he can be the one that helps to take France into global government. And I believe they are already trying to take over the yellow vest movement.
Yes.
And penetrate that to try to steer things in their direction. So it's a wait and see. We will have to wait and see what happens there.
And what about about Angela Merkel stepping down? Do you feel that plays into this scenario at all?
Well, as far as Germany goes, she's been a strong voice, but she's taking a lot of heat now from within Germany because she let in tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of illegals coming from the Middle East, and a fair number of terrorists, you know, were in the midst of that. And Germany is experiencing higher crime and all kinds of other problems now as a result. And so a lot of the German people feel that she was very naive to allow that to happen. And so she's got her hands full right now. Again, we'll have to wait and see what happens. You have a strong globalist movement in Germany, but you also have a nationalist movement. And then you also have a far, far right neo-Nazi movement and the far left movement that's merged with the globalist movement. So a very complex political picture in Germany right now. And just about anything could happen in the short term.
Well, again, we have tried to cover, and I hope we have sort of hit the high points anyway, of the last day's effort to kind of fulfill Revelation 13. Of course, church is gone at that time, but nonetheless, all of these activities have to be a precursor to that time of tribulation, almost literal hell on earth. Again, you can learn more at GaryKaa.org. You can find his books at GaryKaa.org. Again, my DVD, Hidden in Plain View, The New World Order and Bible Prophecy. You can give my office a call for that or go online, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. I want to go out of the program and I want to give a couple of verses as I go out of the program because we've talked about some dark things. And yes, this evil New World Order agenda, it is dark and it has saturated the entire world. But it says in Psalm 37, "Fret not yourselves because of evildoers. Do not be envious of wrongdoings, for they will soon fade like the grass." It says in Psalm 2 that the Lord laughs and holds these corrupt and wicked people literally in derision. And they will meet an ignominious end. They will have their earthly paradise for just 7 years, and it will be hell on earth with the church absent and in heaven in the time of their rule. It's called the tribulation. It's mankind ruling with the Antichrist in the driver's seat, and it doesn't end well for him or for his evil participants. You don't want to be here to experience any of this. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Make him the Lord and Savior of your life. Tomorrow may be too late. I want to thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
We are a vapor, you are eternal, love everlasting, reigning on high. Holy, holy, Lord God.
Thank you for joining us for Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. We're reaching the world to report current events through the lens of Scripture. This broadcast cost you nothing to listen. It cost us thousands of dollars each weekend. As we produce and distribute this weekly program, would you consider becoming a financial partner with us? In this ever-changing world, Christ followers need to stay informed and to be aware of current events from a biblical perspective. This is where you'll hear compelling programs every week to highlight hidden dangers in our culture and the hope that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. We invite you to join us in helping to underwrite this listener-supported broadcast. Please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. You can also give at olivetreeviews.org or by phone at 763-559-4444. Around the clock, olivetreeviews.org is also the place to go for daily updates on global events from a biblical worldview. We're looking forward to hearing from you this week. Thank you for your continued prayer support. Join Jan next week when she returns with another information and inspiration-packed hour designed to help you understand the times.